I have had it with charges of Israel committing genocide against the Palestinians and comparisons between Netanyahu and Hitler. We'll sort it out today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to say it plainly. Somebody's got a blind spot, a serious blind spot. Either I've got a serious blind spot or some other believers have a serious blind spot. But I'm going to do my best to identify it and nail it today, because some of the stuff I'm reading, some of the stuff I'm seeing is deeply, deeply disturbing. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and I am in the thoroughly Jewish city of Tulsa. Well, Tulsa, Oklahoma is not really known as Thoroughly Jewish, but it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday nonetheless. Michael Brown, delighted to be coming your way live again. Friday, Monday, Tuesday, we had some fun vacation time with family, so I had pre-recorded broadcasts. And then yesterday, fully planning on being with you live, but my flight from D.C. into Dallas got delayed on Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday night. By the time I got into Dallas, I'd missed the flight into Tulsa, so we had to do a rebroadcast, but we picked a really important show, two-hour interview with former Mormon professor Lynn Wilder that I know many of you did not hear when it first aired. So we had that, but I'm back with you live. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Come on, let's talk it through. You're Palestinian. You feel the Israelis are wrong. Maybe you're a professing Christian or committed believer, and you differ with me standing with Israel in the midst of this, or you think that the UN should be bringing war crime charges against Israel. We're going to talk about it today. I welcome those who agree with me. I welcome those who disagree with me. If you think that America is in big trouble unless America stands with Israel, I want to hear from you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, the latest reports are mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. I don't know any other way to put it. I'll read quotes to you. Hamas leaders in the midst of so-called negotiations in Egypt, peace negotiations, are saying plenty. We only need these so that we can retool our arms and get more support. And then we're going to attack again. To me, it is absolutely mind-boggling. I know I used that word before. I'll use it again. Mind-boggling that you have Christian leaders and political leaders saying, well, look, you just need to deal with Hamas as a legitimate political entity. No, they have their minds and hearts set on the destruction of Israel, period. Accept it. That's the reality. Doesn't mean that when their kids are killed that it's not a tragedy. Let's recognize, though, what Israel is dealing with. And when you have flags for the Islamic group ISIS being raised, radical Islamic terrorists that even much of the Muslim world recognizes terrorists, you have those flags being flown in places like Sydney, Australia. You have an Australian former rapper who's now joined ISIS, and there he is pictured holding up a human head that's been decapitated. And this is someone that was a successful artist in Australia, now fighting with ISIS, holding up the head of a human being that was beheaded in the name of radical Islam. And you have Hamas is more in that camp than they're in the camp with Israel and democracy. Oh, it gets worse when you hear the revelations of what has come out and what Hamas's plans were and the massacres that they had planned. And now, in the midst of this news that America stopped or slowed down sending weapons to Israel, not happy with the way things were being conducted or the way Israel was relating to Washington, friends, we got some major serious problems and issues here. And by God's grace, I will function as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, and we will sort through difficult issues together. If you differ with me, if you agree with me, I'm going to take phone calls. Oh, if you really differ with me, if you think Israel's committing genocide, I want to hear from you. Don't just post on social media. Call me. Let's talk. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Let me talk to you for a minute about civilian casualties, all right? Let's talk about that. And this charge of genocide, and here, I'll read this to you. Let me just grab this here. This is an email that was sent. It was sent respectfully. I appreciate the spirit in which it was sent. I appreciate the attitude behind it. But the gentleman who wrote, blessed by the ministry here and has profited and so on, his name is Bob, and hang on, let me get the exact question in front of me. While I profited personally from your teaching and perspectives in on a number of subjects, I'm simply blown away by your seeming implicit support of Israel's ongoing genocidal conduct tactics toward the Palestinians. Now, Bob, you're direct with me. I want to tell you that's obscene. When I read that, those charges are nothing less than obscene to me, to charge Israel with genocidal conduct or tactics towards the Palestinians. That is obscene in the highest degree of the word. I'll explain why. In my reading of history, the elimination of Palestinians from Palestine has been the underlying orientation since Ben-Gurion, yet even Menachem Begin. How in heaven's name does Netanyahu's tactic differ from that of Hitler's in the 1930s, 1940s? Please enlighten me. Bob, that's one of the ugliest things I've ever read. You mean it sincerely, and I appreciate it. But to compare Israel defending itself against terrorists and Israel giving complete freedoms and rights to the Palestinians living in their midst who have thrived in Israel, to compare that to Hitler's systematic extermination of Jewish people, two-thirds of Europe's Jews wiped out, systematically annihilated, 1.5 million children and babies killed in cold blood, 6 out of 9 million Jews in Hitler's Europe destroyed, 3 million out of 3.3 million Polish Jews annihilated, wiped out, gassed, shot through the head, burned alive, tortured to death, worked to death. To compare that with Israel's fight against terrorists is ugly, absolutely ugly. And whatever reading of history you're doing, Bob, you're reading the wrong sources. You're reading very, very wrong sources. Are you aware that in the early 1920s, with the League of Nations, when they offered Israel, the Jewish people at that point, and the Arabs living there, a division of the land that would give the majority of the land to the Arabs? And remember, once the Jews came in, they were developing the land more. It was prospering more. That also brought more Arabs in. And they were living side by side peacefully for the most part until Haji Amin al-Husseini, who ended up being a colleague of Adolf Hitler and wanted the annihilation of the Jewish people, began launching intifadas against the Jews. Read the history, get the full facts. That the Arab leadership said, no, we don't want this. Are you aware of Ben-Gurion saying there's room enough in the land for everyone, let's be neighbors? Are you aware in 1947, after British leadership and others did not allow Jews trying to flee from Nazi Europe to enter into Palestine, the one place where they could go, they refused, dying in concentration camps and gas chambers by the millions in Europe, that at this very time in 1947, when the UN said, okay, here's the partition plan, two states, one for the Arabs, one for the Jews, and a large part of the land going to the Jews at that point, that the Arab leadership again said no, and the Jewish leadership said yes once again. And David Ben-Gurion said, let us live as neighbors, that Golda Meir said, we reach our hands out to you, that pamphlets were distributed. I mean, this is documented history, that pamphlets were distributed to Arabs living there saying, don't flee, don't go, we can live as neighbors together. And what happened to the 200,000 Arabs, now you call them Palestinians, who didn't flee, the conduct, who didn't flee the war when five surrounding Arab nations said, we will wipe out and destroy the Jews? Whoever Hitler didn't get, will get, to paraphrase. And Israel, by the way, lost 1% of their population in the War of Independence, 1947, 1948. And 800,000 Jewish refugees who had to flee the surrounding Muslim lands were incorporated by and large into Israel itself, whereas Israel had 1/650th of the surrounding Arab territories that could have easily incorporated the refugees. What happened to the 200,000 Palestinians who stayed in the land? What happened to them and lived side by side under Jewish leadership? They are 1.5 million today. Did you hear that? 1.5 million, and they are thriving. Why? Because they're not trying to kill the Jews. That's the fundamental difference. They're not trying to kill the Jewish people. They grew from 200,000 to over 1.5 million. How in the world are you going to call that genocide? How in the world are you going to compare that to Hitler wiping out Jewish people in Europe? God forbid. These are obscene comparisons. I don't just say this as a Jew. I say this as a student of history, and more than that, as a lover of Jesus and a lover of justice and a lover of truth. Were there atrocities committed by Jews? Sure. Were they in the midst of war for liberty, independence, freedom? Yes. Were they a vast minority compared to what was done to them? Absolutely. And if you compare their war record to the war record of American war or England and war or others, Israel comes out shining brightly. As a British general said, no nation has done more ever to avoid civilian casualties than the Israelis have. So 200,000 Palestinians not trying to kill the Jews are now 1.5 million. They make up 10% of the Israeli parliament. And the great majority of them do not want to be under the Palestinian Authority, Fatah, and they don't want to be under Hamas because they know they're much better under Israeli leadership. They teach in universities. They have a seat in the Supreme Court. Don't give me this genocide garbage. It is garbage. Don't compare Netanyahu to Hitler. Now, let's get to civilian casualties for a moment. You say, Mike, you sound upset. This stuff is grievous to me. It's grievous, it's ugly, and it needs to be set right. And if you want to read one good book to start, read Palestine Betrayed by Ephraim Karsh. Start there. You say, but I know Ilan Poppy, he's talked about the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. Yes, and he's recognized as extreme left wing and has even made clear that at times, you know, the facts don't exactly have to line up with the narrative. Read Ephraim Karsh's book, Palestine Betrayed. Read the firsthand source documents. Oh, yeah, in the midst of war, there was war. In the midst of war, if now there's an issue going on for battle for survival and Israelis have to clear out neighborhoods, they did that. But their preference was not to fight, but to dwell as neighbors. Who started the war? Who said yes to the plan in the 20s when the Jews had much less room? Who said yes to the plan in 47? It's the Jews. It's the Israelis. Who said no? The Arab leadership. Who tried to kill whom? The Arab leadership launched the attacks. You have to read a lot of propaganda and a lot of misleading history and a lot of biased reporting to come up to any other conclusion. Okay, so now we get to Hamas today. And you say, what about the civilian casualties? Well, BBC and New York Times, who are not exactly known for being pro-Israel in their reporting, a little sarcasm there, understatement. Here's what happens. They began looking at the casualty figures because according to UN, which gets their figures from local Hamas leadership, that the great, great, great majority of those who were killed were civilians. And they began to look and say, wait a second. Something's interesting here. If it's civilian casualties, if bombs are just dropping on homes and so on and schools and streets, then there should be about the same number of men as women killed. Why is it the vast majority are men? Oh. And then they notice that it's well known it's a very young population there, so there's a disproportionate number of people 17 years old and younger, so that should make up a larger percentage. But no, it's males in their 20s who are the number one casualties. Why? Because they are the fighters. They are the military. Israel has been reporting them as military casualties, but Hamas only takes a small percentage of their military casualties and reports it as such. And now, even these news outlets that can often be very critical of Israel, you know what they're saying? It looks like the numbers are skewed. And it could be that Israeli intelligence is right. Israeli intelligence says it's roughly 1 for 1. For every fighter that is killed, it's roughly 1 for 1. For every fighter killed, there's a civilian killed. They said if that's the case, this would be the highest percentage in recorded war history of correspondence between the high number of military casualties compared to civilian, because it's normally disproportionately the other way. In other words, Israel would have done better than anyone has done in a conflict. How dare someone call it genocide when Palestinians living in Israel who are not trying to kill the Israelis are thriving and grew from 200,000 to 1.5 million? And if Israel wanted to commit genocide, in one day they could kill every Palestinian they want with their superior firepower. Let's talk truth. I've had it with this rubbish. You're convinced I'm wrong? Prove it to me. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You hear that music? That means it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Coming your way live from Tulsa. Yeah, I'm passionate about this. I'm convinced that on this issue, the blind spot is not on my end. I'm convinced that there is continual bias against Israel, and it is part. Look, I will fault Israel for issues all the time. I will take issue with Israeli decisions all the time. Because I am a believer in Jesus, that means that I'm in conflict with my people over lots of important issues. And I don't. It would not surprise me if the sinfulness of Israel, like the sinfulness of every other nation, is more fully revealed before Jesus comes. None of that would surprise me. But justice is justice, and fairness is fairness, and truth is truth. Let's just play a couple of clips for you. Let's go to clip number one about the Hamas tunnels. Go ahead, Joey.
Hamas's offensive tunnel network, now known to have been composed of over 40 attack tunnels dug underneath Israel's border with the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip, was set to be activated during the Jewish High Holy Days of September 24th as a mass terror attack.
Were you aware of that? Were you aware of that? Were you aware of the fact that the Hamas tunnels, this several dozen tunnels that were found, Israel knew that tunnels were being made. They didn't know how extensive. And remember, the money that was involved, could have gone to build hospitals, to build apartments, to build all kinds of facilities to help the people of Gaza. No, they're building terror tunnels. What was Hamas's plan? And this was discovered as a number of them were captured and they confessed to the plan. On the high holidays, the Jewish New Year, they planned to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Hamas terrorists come out of tunnels which were dug in cities, under cities in Israel, to come out dressed in Israeli uniforms and to massacre and kidnap as many people as possible, beginning with kindergartens. Yes, these are facts. They had explosives that were planted under kindergartens. They were going to blow kids up and they were going to capture others and kidnap them. And Israel's supposed to sit at the table and, quote, negotiate with them? Here, let me share a little bit more with you. They have plainly said that during these peace talks, their intent was very simple. Their intent was simply to restock and to have time to get more funding and to try to challenge Israel, make Israel look bad so they can keep fighting. Maybe you didn't hear this report from August 13th. Mukhtar Zahran, a Palestinian Jordanian journalist, activist, and voice for many Palestinian Arabs living in the Hashemite Kingdom, so in Jordan and elsewhere, says the Gaza war has reinforced for most that electing and supporting Hamas was a bad idea. Quote, not a single Gazan that I spoke to was not against Hamas. who came to, quote, the West Bank, so Judea, Samaria, to cover the conflict in and around the Gaza Strip. Come on. Do you guys think we are animals? That we love seeing Hamas terrorists hiding among our crowds just to have Israeli F-16s bomb us so we can get sympathy? Please understand, yes, Gaza elected Hamas, but people make mistakes. Didn't the Germans elect Hitler? Were the Germans still in favor of Hitler when Russia and the Allies were marching into Berlin and bombing the hell out of it? Of course, that doesn't mean most of the population in Gaza is ready to ally with Israel or even return to Israeli rule. He said, we have to be clear, Palestinians hate Israel. This might change in 30 years or so, but they hate Israel. So Gazans hate Israel, but for sure, and I can authoritatively say this, they hate Hamas even more now. This is what a leading Palestinian journalist is saying, and this is who Israel is dealing with. There's a tremendous report, the Bolt report, where John Bolt weighs in on these issues. And I want you to hear this, all right? We posted a video on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. We posted this video along with a little provocative cartoon from an Israeli cartoonist about Hamas. And you'll actually get to see things, not just hear, but see. So if you go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, S-K-D-R Brown, and just scroll down a little, you'll see this cartoon, and you'll see the link to this video. You can watch the whole report, but I just want to play a couple of excerpts for you. Let's go to clip number 2 from the Bolt report.
Let me ask all those anti-Israel protesters something. If you're so upset that 1,500 Muslims have died in this war, why have you said nothing about the 170,000 Muslims who have died so far in serious civil war, including the dozens decapitated in the past fortnight? Why have you said nothing about the Islamic State jihadist shooting hundreds of unarmed Iraqis just the other day? If you're really so worried about violence against children, why haven't you protested against Boko Haram, who this year cut the throats of schoolboys and made slaves of nearly 300 girls?
Exactly. Well, where is the UN with all the war crimes charges against others? And you say, well, they're just terrorists and some aren't really nations. Okay. So there is no nation going on. Bashar Assad in Syria is not leading his nation, and he's not guilty of atrocities. You say, well, we talked about that. Oh, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. Well, listen, years ago, I was at a Jerusalem Foundation dinner in New York City, and I got to ask Dan Rather plainly about this issue. And he did say that the media holds Israel to a higher standard. Oh, I say it's a lot deeper than that, friends. Listen, I've got 2 hours to talk about these things today. I invite some interaction. I've had a lot to say, yet I've got a lot more clips to play. So any part of the show you miss, just go to my website later, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on latest audio later today. You'll be able to catch all of the broadcast. But there is more. Speaking at a conference here in Tulsa, we ran out of some material, so I decided to do something just to bless everyone. So this is until Friday at midnight. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and whatever you order, doesn't matter how small or how large the order, everything is postage paid. So it is postage free. Any special offer, anything you want to take advantage of that's listed on the website, discounted price, regular price, we will pay the postage on everything. Again, doesn't matter how large or small the order. So take advantage of it, save you a little money, and you can always use that to something productive. So go there right now, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see right on the homepage a code to use to order whatever you like. Postage paid, as much as you want, within the United States only, until midnight tomorrow night.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. All right, let me just open things up a little wider. If you have any Jewish-related question you want to ask me at all, any Hebrew question you want to ask me at all, anything you want to ask me about the conflict with Israel and the Palestinians or Hamas right now, I'm happy to talk with you. 866-34-TRUTH. There are campus protests. There are campuses where there's a very, very strong anti-Israel sentiment in America. There are oil-rich nations and oil-wealthy individuals who are Muslims who are actively funding departments, programs in America where you have blatant anti-Israel professors and even departments within respected universities. There is a lot of indoctrination to make Israel look like the evil Goliath attacking poor little David and the surrounding nations, whereas Israel would love for the Palestinians to be happy neighbors. So I've got a question for you. I've got some more audio clips to play for you, and we'll get to those shortly. But let's just go back in recent history, okay? Let's go back to this. Let's go back to August 9th, 2001. That wasn't too long ago, was it? August 2001, Jerusalem. This was the bombing of the Sbarro's Pizzeria in Jerusalem. So young people, families there having pizza together, suicide bombing. This was celebrated by the Palestinian Authority, by Islamic leadership. This was celebrated. There was even a replica of this that was built for a while to show this glorious suicide bombing. So best friends Malka Roth, 15, and Michal Raziel, 16, and another family, a little difficult to pronounce the last name, the parents, Mordechai and Sarah, and their three children, Raya, who's 14, Avraham Yitzchak, 4, and Hemda, 2. They were among the 15 killed, including 7 children, and 130 wounded. This is during the Second Intifada. After the suicide bombing, Palestinian university students at Al-Najah University in the West Bank city of Nablus created an exhibition celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Second Intifada. The exhibit's main attraction was a room-sized reenactment of the bombing at Sbarro's. Oh, you didn't know that. You weren't aware that that happened. Oh. The installation featured broken furniture, splattered with fake blood, and human body parts. The entrance to the exhibition was illustrated with a mural depicting the bombing. The exhibit was later shut down by Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. According to the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Anti-Defamation League, a total of 1,194 Israelis and foreigners were killed and 7,000 wounded between September 2000 and August 2010 by Palestinian terror attacks, most of them during 2000 to 2005, the Second Intifada. Where were the campus protests? Where were the UN tribunals? Where was the calling to account the Palestinian Authority or PLO or whatever the governing body would have been at that time? Where was the outrage over the celebrating of the suicide bomber? Then streets are named after these suicide bombers. Where was that? Oh, but when Israel, in a war against terrorists, doing its utmost to preserve civilian lives, and if civilians are killed, it is not intentional. And if it happens where it could have been avoided, Israel grieves over it, and there are even calls within Israel for investigation. Let us say it again. How dare someone paint Israel as the guilty party here? And notice, I haven't quoted scripture prophecy. I'm just talking about justice. We will be right back.
The line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shame on you! Shame on you, you're Jewish! You're not Jewish! Shame on you!
Yes. Yet another anti-Israel protest, and the exaltation of radical Islam and the attack on Jews in numerous parts of the world. Now, look, I hear from moderate Muslims. Some of them, I would say, are nominal. They don't really hold to the fundamentals of the faith. Others are more religious, and they consistently say we stand against radical Islam, but they're not the presence that is as loud as the presence of the radicals. And they are not effectively stopping the radicals. Look, if I say I'm appalled at what a particular group is doing, they call themselves Christians, like, say, Westboro Baptist, you know, God hates fags, God hates America, God hates Israel, that group. Well, I do what I know how to do. I speak out against them. I denounce them. I separate myself from them. We had an opportunity of something they were going to potentially be doing where I could have interviewed one of them on the air to say, okay, I will interview on the air if you don't do this protest to disrupt a funeral. And my goal, of course, was to expose their error. I was willing to do it, and then the opportunity to do that did not happen. It didn't happen. But the point I'm making is very simple. I'll do what I know how to do to stand against this. I'll do what I know how to do to denounce this. Absolutely. But when the loudest voices you hear are the anti-Israel, radical, extremist Islamic voices, that's what we're going to hear, and that's what we're going to be familiar with. And being a moderate Muslim saying, well, I don't agree with this, that's not going to change things. Just very quickly, I'm about to post a graphic on Facebook that I want all of you to see. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and post that now. It's a map of Israel surrounded by Muslim nations. I just want you to see the reality. Go to Facebook as soon as you have an opportunity. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And just look, you'll see a tiny, tiny red sliver surrounded by a massive sea of green. And that is Muslim nations that are surrounding Israel. Yep. That is the reality. So I have yet to hear of, say, let's just take the surrounding nations. So the government of Saudi Arabia, or the government of Jordan, or the government of Iraq, or the government of Iran, or the government of Turkey, or the government of Syria, or the government of Egypt, or Libya, or Sudan. I have yet to hear them say, we stand with Israel and we denounce terror. Oh, many of them don't find Hamas to be their partners or ones they want to be friendly with. I understand that. And they are distancing themselves from Hamas. But that is not out of standing with Israel. It's for their own pragmatic purposes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Bob from Boston, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, Bob. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Great. Dr. Brown, I want to, it seems like we constantly are bringing issues of they did this and I did that and so forth and so on. And we're always focusing on the blame, as opposed to focusing on the love that we're supposed to extend to one another. And I really feel we're just stirring the waters as opposed to really attempting mm-hmm. to bring peace to one another.
All right, well, let's go back to World War II, okay? The Nazis are slaughtering Jews and other innocent people. Millions and millions are dying in the war.
If I may interrupt,
hang on. Let me just add, Bob, let me ask you my question, okay? So let's go back to World War II. The Nazis are slaughtering millions of Jews. Others are being killed in the war, terrible casualties. Allies, United States, fighting against them to stop the Nazis. How about we just stop and show each other love? Would that have solved the problems, or was there a military conflict that had to be dealt with?
Well, that's what I was about to say. You know, we talk about yesterday, all we want is retaliation and an eye for an eye. If we do eye for an eye, we're all going to be blind, and we're not going to get anywhere. I don't think Jesus...
I'm not talking about retaliation. No one said a word about retaliation.
I'm expressing myself to your view, and I'm expressing it as best I can, okay? Is that all right?
But I didn't say retaliation. That's not my view.
That was my word. And I'm answering... What should you said the situation? What should we do with it? And I'm offering my perspective as to how we address it. And we don't address it by fighting and killing an eye for an eye. That's my view. Okay.
So what
and
do you
that's
do?
That's where the problem. What you do?
All right, so you have your neighbors are trying to kill you. Your neighbors are trying to kill you. You give them every option to live in peace. You reach out to them. You give them land. You give them sovereignty. And they keep trying to kill you, and all you're doing is trying to stop them from killing you. You're not supposed to do that.
Are there martyrs that follow Jesus Christ?
I don't follow what this has to do with Romans 13, that a government is there to protect the people and to use the sword. Because we're talking about a government. A government is there. So we shouldn't have police. We should just let people do whatever they do and just show love. And we shouldn't have government and authority and just let people do whatever they do. And if they rape your daughters and beat your wife to death and burn down the house with your neighbors in it because the police said we just show love, we just let them do that. No, that's what government is not for that. We're not talking about personal retaliation. We're not talking about personal vindictiveness. Well, the folks I work with in Israel are constantly working for reconciliation with Arabs and Palestinians, constantly reaching out, having joint conferences, having private meetings, praying together with leaders. And they all stand with Israel defending itself against murderers. Why do you have a problem with that? I'm just trying to understand. Why do you have a problem with Israel defending itself against murderers?
Defending oneself is reasonable, not to the point of inflicting harm. Jesus did not inflict harm on anyone. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ?
We're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about government. Okay, Romans 13, it says the government has the sword given by God to punish evildoers. Okay, we're not talking about personal retaliation. So if the only way, you're saying then, that every government in the world, if the only way to stop an army from killing your people, raping your daughters, all right? The only way to stop them is to use physical force against them, then we are not supposed to stop them. That we are supposed to... No, sir, that is social insanity. Please give me biblical support for your viewpoint that governments are not supposed to use the sword to stop the onslaught of evil. Please give me your biblical text, because I've given you Romans 13.
Did the Lord part the sea and allow the people to be protected? That's biblical.
The Lord also told Israel to wipe out the Canaanites.
Well, you asked me to give you some proof. I gave you some proof, okay?
No, that's not proof. He then wiped out the Egyptians in the sea. God killed the Egyptians in the sea and then told Israel to take the promised land. All right, Bob, thanks. Okay, we're done. I appreciate the call, and I want to be really candid with you. This is an absolute misapplication of biblical truth. This is an absolute misapplication. You are saying there should not be police. You are saying that if you have to use force, that's going to harm someone. So you have an intruder coming into your home, and this person hates you, and they are vindictive, and they've given themselves over to Satan, and they're going to try to rape your kids and your spouse and kill you and set the house on fire and burn you alive, and you have a baseball bat in your hand, and you can club this person over the head and knock them out, that you don't do it because you're going to harm them? What about the call to preserve life? What about Israelite law that if someone breaks into your home and when you stop them, they are hurt or injured or killed, but you did that to stop a break-in, that it's legitimate? What about that? And I listen, on a personal level, non-retaliation. And for believers, so we're talking about vindictiveness, retaliation. I forgive those who sin against me. I reach out to them with the love of God. Of course. And in addition to that, as believers in the land, the believers I know, Messianic Jews, they're reaching out to Arabs, to Palestinians. They're trying to reconcile. They're trying to they all hate the war. But my Messianic Jewish friends will be the first to say, we need to protect ourselves against murderers. Please give me a biblical text that says we're not supposed to do that. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm passionate about these things. I have consistently called for prayer for the Palestinians. I have consistently said that they are also victims of Hamas and that their suffering is ultimately because of bad leadership decisions. I want to play another clip from the Bolt Report. This is Andrew Bolt. He is talking about the why Israel comes under the attack that it does, and people not seeing the bigger picture. Joey, let's play clip number three, the Bolt Report by Andrew. By the way, if you go to AskDrBrown.org and look for a little cartoon about Hamas, very intense cartoon, you'll see a link to this video where you can watch the actual report on YouTube. Clip number three.
Why is Israel the great evil? When Muslims are killing thousands more Muslims in wars in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Syria. Is it that those Jews won't just lie down and die? Something smells, and sure enough, around the West, we see that familiar old hatred.
Yep, that familiar old hatred raising its head once again. I was reading a report about, quote, the global jihad or the global pogrom. Pogroms, these took place in Eastern Europe, Russia, late 1800s, early 1900s, which were just violent attacks on Jewish communities. It could be government organized. It could just be popular uprising. And Jews would just be terrorized, I should say, in different communities. And there's a report from August 11th, Jerusalem Post, by Benjamin Kirstein, the global pogrom. This is not just a Jewish issue. A global pogrom is a global issue. It forces us to ask if the world is capable of doing justice to one of its smallest minorities. There is a global pogrom underway. This is a terrible truth, and people tend to ignore terrible truths, so it must be said again, there is a global pogrom underway. There's another terrible truth. The global pogrom has been underway for more than a decade. It has taken lives. It has destroyed property. It has wounded, brutalized, and terrified Jews and Jewish communities in many nations. It is creating a silent exodus, a de facto expulsion, and ethnic cleansing in slow motion. This is a terrible truth that almost no one wants to acknowledge, but over the past month, it has become a truth that is impossible to ignore. Violence against Jews has been ongoing since the Palestinian terror war began in 2000, but the moment when the global pogrom becomes impossible to deny took place last month in France. June 13th, 2004, an ostensibly pro-Palestinian demonstration in Paris quickly developed into the pogrom. Perhaps it was always meant to be. A mob of thugs descended upon the synagogue, goes on with what happened, and then we have the ongoing events around the world, in Holland, in Germany, in Austria, in London, in parts of North America, in Australia with mocking of Jews and attacks on Jews, in some cases physical attacks. What do we make of this? Anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, is raising its head once again. I have no problem with people questioning biblical prophecy and is Israel today restoration of ancient Israel according to prophecy. I'm happy to debate that. I have debated that, but it doesn't make you an anti-Semite to wonder about that. To say, well, I believe Israel has a right to defend itself, but I have questions about some of its policies, and I think there could be more humanitarian work in the Palestinian territories and so on and so forth, and I differ with Israel. Okay, it doesn't make you an anti-Semite. But when Jews worldwide are blamed for Israel's defensive tactics and military tactics, when Jews worldwide are demonized, when it becomes back to the gas chambers, that is nothing less than anti-Semitism raising its head once again. It is, friends, undeniable. Let's play one more clip from the Bolt Report. This is an anti-Israel rally in Lakemba, Sydney. So it's a suburb in southwestern Sydney, Australia, in the state of New South Wales. This is July 31st. People are waving black flags of jihad and yellow Hezbollah flags, and they're chanting Palestine, Palestine, so in Arabic, Philistine, Philistine, God destroy you, Israel, and it goes on from there. Clip number 5. All right, this is a rally in Sydney, Australia, calling out Palestine is Muslim land, the solution is jihad, Palestine is Muslim land, your oppression will not stand, you can never stop Islam. From Australia to Al-Sham, which is Syria, one Ummah, one people, hand in hand, from Lakemba, Sydney, to Gaza. These are realities. Now, here's what I want to leave you with. Oh, there's a whole lot more to say, for sure. But here's what I want to leave you with, friends. This is a spiritual battle, ultimately. And that's why we must give ourselves to prayer. Because as much as the devil is raging, and as much as Jew hatred is rising, and as much as radical Islamic terror is on the march around the world, these are ultimately spiritual battles. Satan hates Islamic radicals. Satan hates Hamas. Satan hates the Palestinian population. Satan hates the Jewish population. Satan hates followers of Jesus. In other words, he doesn't have any good plan for anybody. He just has different tools for different purposes that he seeks to work through. We need to give ourselves over to God. We need to pray that everything Satan means for evil, God will turn for good. We need to pray for a holy awakening among the Jewish people and among the Muslims. We need to pray for reconciliation among those seeking reconciliation. And we need to pray for the destruction of everything that would destroy people's lives. And yes, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as we ask God to establish Jerusalem as the praise of all the earth, Isaiah 62, as we do that, we do it saying, we believe that God has restored the Jewish people back to the land, and that means we care about all of the peoples in the region. And please, go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown, and just take a look at the map that I posted there. This is the reality. This is what Israel is dealing with, surrounded by hostile nations. My bottom line today, it is undeniable that Jew hatred is rising in intensity around the world. It is undeniable that it will continue to increase in many quarters. But in the midst of it, God is working out his purposes of salvation, freedom, and deliverance. I have had it with charges of Israel committing genocide against the Palestinians and comparisons between Netanyahu and Hitler. We'll sort it out today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Yeah, I was pretty passionate in the first hour about these issues. And, how about this? British comedian and actor Russell Brand has called on banks, pension funds, and other businesses to sever any ties to Israel or ongoing deals that facilitate the oppression of people in Gaza. In particular, Brand singled out the Barclays Bank, which he said manages the portfolios of an Israeli defense company called Elbit, which makes the drones that bomb Gaza. The message they give us is the exact opposite of the reality. They're acting like they're part of our community, Brand said on the new episode of his online show, the Truths? In any case, Mr. Brand, the ones who are oppressing the people in Gaza are Hamas. The ones who are oppressing the people in Gaza are Hamas. The ones who do not have their best interest in mind, those people are Hamas, because the best interest of the people of Gaza would be to live peacefully with their Israeli neighbors, and as they did, their standard of living would increase dramatically. Oh, yes, it would take some time for relationships to be built, for there to be some kind of trust, but it could be done. Welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I asked folks to call the first hour that took issue with me, and I got to say, it disturbs me when I hear Christians call and say, well, look, Jesus basically said, turn the other cheek, etc. Oh, okay, so you're saying that a nation doesn't defend itself against murderers? That Jesus was telling nations, you, when you're attacked, you don't fight back? That the American forces and the Allied forces that defeated the Nazis, that they didn't do a good thing? So what do we do with Romans 13? Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. By the way, coming your way live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Could not be live yesterday because of weather delay and a missed flight that cost me hours and hours. But live with you today, ready to take your calls at 866-348-7884. Whether you agree with me or differ, that's fine. Romans 13, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist are instituted by God. So then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Who established these rulers to be a terror to bad conduct? God, according to Romans 13. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval. For government is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. Isn't that interesting? It does not carry the sword. Why does Paul use that language? Because he's talking about the governing authority using its weaponry, using its power to enforce good and to punish evil. For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Didn't Paul in the previous chapter write and say, don't repay evil with evil? Didn't he write in the previous chapter, vengeance belongs to God? So on a personal level, isn't he telling us that we are not to be retaliating or trying to take the law in our own hands? Yes. Aren't we to bless those who curse us? Yes. And he is saying in a few verses later that government has the authority to be, quote, an avenger of God, God's wrath being carried out by government doers. That's Bible.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome back to The Line of Fire. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Yeah, we're still focused on Israel and the conflict with Hamas. We are still dealing with world issues and world perceptions about Israel. I just want to reiterate something I mentioned in the first hour, that other sources, BBC News, New York Times, sources that you don't expect to just be pro-Israel, in fact, often quite the opposite in their reporting, they have said, you know, when you look at the casualties, if it was civilians mainly being killed, then it would be equally divided between men and women, because bombs just fall indiscriminately in civilians. And yet the vast majority of the casualties in Gaza have been male. What does that mean? What does that imply? And then a disproportionate part of the population is under the age of 17 because of the makeup of the people of Gaza is very young, population-wise, rapidly growing, very young. So you would expect to have a disproportionate number under 17 and an equal number of men and women. Actually, you have a disproportionate number of males, very disproportionate, and a disproportionate number in their 20s. Why? Because they are fighters. They're being reported as civilian deaths, but they are actually fighters. You say, yeah, but I saw pictures of children killed. Yeah, some of them killed by Hamas rockets, but plenty killed as Israel fights back against Hamas. Someone shooting at you, you shoot back. If they're shooting at you in the midst of you can't see every human being, you're doing your best to protect them. So the interesting thing, the statistics are pointing to the fact that Israel has done an extraordinary job in using restraint and in reducing civilian casualties to a rough one-to-one rate, one civilian casualty for every fighter casualty, which is virtually unheard of in war. And for that, Israel is being brought before the UN on war crimes. Yep, that is the reality we are dealing with. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones with our friend Mendel in Baltimore, but not to talk about his normal subject, to weigh in on Israel. Hey, Mendel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. You know, it's ironic that Newsweek magazine had a few weeks ago a cover story which was about the fleeing of Jews from all over Europe to Israel, entitled The Second Exodus. What that meant to a lot of observant Jews is that we have now, from a Gentile source, Newsweek, that we are in the final redemption. We've known that already, as I mentioned before, because the era of the final redemption was told to us to begin, when it did, in 1991, when the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, said that when you have Paras, which was Iraq, making a war with Melech Arvi, which is Kuwait, and then Aram, superpower, the United States gets involved with this. This is all from the Yalkut Shmoni hundreds of years ago. That's the time that the Jewish people will be shaking and quaking. What should we do? Where should we go? And then God says to them, I'll say this in Hebrew, B'ni al tisrael, my son, don't worry. Call Assisi, everything I've done, Assisi, I've done only for your sake. I've done only for your sake. So that could have been a third world war. That's what Saddam Hussein wanted to do. And people don't realize how much we should thank God for saving us from that thing, because that's precisely where it would have gone if God hadn't intervened. And, of course, we saw 39 Scuds flown into Israel, and not one person died directly from them. It was a time of tremendous miracles. So now we see that we're coming to the culmination of that, and there's so many prophecies that have been fulfilled. But I don't want to.
So you're saying this from the you're saying this from the perspective of an ultra Orthodox Jew, a Hasidic Jew, not as a follower of Jesus. So Mendel, let me just ask you this question: If you're looking at other parts of the ultra Orthodox Jewish world, say the Satmar community that is not Zionist, or maybe just the modern Orthodox, say those that would graduate from Yeshiva University, do they believe that there are end-time miracles happening and that we are in the final moments of redemption before the Messiah comes? What do they believe?
What I'm told is that from someone who just came back from Israel, that there's a consensus, not only among the sages of the Jewish people that we're in the end times. In fact, I can name some of the rabbis who said it, but among the populace, a person told me you can actually feel it in the air, that people are so sure from all of the predictions and all the prophecies that we're told will occur in these times, that's where we are. Not to mention the fact that the prophet of our time, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, said, I'm telling you this as a prophecy, that you're in the era of the time of the redemption. So,
yeah, but you know what you're missing, though, is the Christians who decades before that, even some in some cases before the birth of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, were talking about this return that was going to take place of the Jewish people coming back to the land. They were talking about that, and then they were talking about all of this in preparation for the return of Jesus. And in fact, you're probably not familiar with this. I doubt that you've heard it. But there is a Japanese leader, Christian leader, great lover of Israel, who was a missionary. Was it in Mongolia? I'm not exactly sure. I just forgot. A friend of mine studied in his seminary in Japan. And God called him back in the 40s to go back to Japan and raise up Japanese Christians to pray, number one, for the return of the Jewish people to the land and for Israel to be back in their hands, number one. Number two, for the return of Jerusalem into Jewish hands. So 1948, the first happened, 1967, the second happened, and then for the return of Jesus. So I'm with you that we are getting closer and closer to that era of the Messiah's revealing. I just encourage you to be prepared, because when he is revealed, it will be revealed that it is Yeshua, the one pierced. And that's what Zechariah, the 12th chapter, points to, as Jerusalem is surrounded by hostile nations, and the people have to cry out. And what do they do? Vehibito Eliah to Shedekaro. They look to me, whom they have thrust through, whom they have pierced. A revelation that the one that we thought was the cause of our suffering was actually the one who died for our sins. Hey, it's always nice to speak with you in the midst of our differences, and appreciate you bringing your perspective. 866-348-7884. Oh, let's go over to clip number five. This is CNN, SE Cup, August 7th, 2014. So 1 week ago. Clip number six, I'm glad to see her saying this, on CNN.
Well, the media treats Hamas, and particularly within the confines of this conflict, as sort of a political figure. And so when they talk about Hamas's demands, it's the ceasefire, it's an end to the blockade in Gaza, it's to maintain their tunnels. What they don't talk about is Hamas's stated goals, its true objectives, which are the total destruction of Israel and the annihilation of the Jews.
Oh, in other words, there's more to the story. As I took issue with President Carter, former President Carter, if you did not see that video, and it's illustrated, we put some other video clips and text on there to give you further information. Please go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest video, and you can watch that. It's just one or two back. In fact, you'll want to watch most of the recent videos are very relevant to this. There's not a recognition of the Radical Islamic Foundation. There's not a recognition for the fact that Hamas is bent on Israel's destruction. One more clip. Let's listen to S.C. Cup as she continues. Clip number seven.
So for media reports to omit that and just talk about the political demands seems like a real glaring example of either bias or a Hamas victory on the PR front.
Yes, exactly. Now, since we know from the start there is really no dispute about this, we know from the start that Hamas launched this war, a PR campaign, not as a military campaign. They win by losing. They win by having civilians die. They win by making Israel look bad. When you recognize that and then you see the thing unfold, it's like someone telling you in front of their eyes, I'm going to trick you just like this, and then they go ahead and trick you. So here's a report, Jerusalem Post, CBS News, Fox News. The Obama administration has stopped weapons transfer to Israel amid diplomatic tensions between U.S. President Barack Obama's administration and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The U.S. halted a shipment of air-to-ground missiles to Israel last month during Israel's offensive in Gaza Strip. Wow.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, I got a question. Let me put this out to my team here as I'm live in Tulsa in another studio broadcasting today. Joey, Dwight, Matt. Have I been too worked up about these issues today? I'm not looking at any of you face to face right now. I'm in my studio, and you are in two different locations right now. And through the miracle of modern technology, as we often do when I'm on the road in different countries, we broadcast live from different locations. Just like you see on TV, you got talking heads, and they're coming from different places. We're just doing that via radio. But have I gotten too worked up about people saying, like, you know, Netanyahu is like Hitler, or that Israel's guilty of genocide? Because I'm burdened about these things. I'm burdened about truth. I'm burdened about justice. I'm burdened about the well-being of everyone involved. And here, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay. I was interacting with a gentleman on Twitter yesterday who wrote for CNN in the past and who, no, man, I'm not kidding. I'm just so grieved over this stuff, and I am so burdened over it, and it really burst out of my heart with tremendous passion and concern today. I believe it's that critical. I believe the deception is that deep. I believe the spiritual battle is that intense. I'm just asking for some honest feedback. Let's extend the question. Do you think I'm getting too passionate about this? As you're listening in your cars and your computers and your smartphones and wherever else you're listening to this broadcast live or on delayed broadcast, wherever you get it, you think I'm getting too worked up, passionate about this? 866-348-7884. I'm just curious. But I was interacting with a gentleman who challenged something that I had put in an article, which was some honest questions for Muslim moderates, or it was an open letter to moderate Muslims. And he challenged me on Twitter and said that some of what I wrote was inaccurate, specifically when I mentioned the jizya tax. And he said, you know, give me examples. And I was traveling. I said, hey, I'm on the road, right? I'm on the road right now, but the sources are readily available. And of course, my information was accurate. I don't just write things and throw them out. But I said, look, I'm trying to get honest questions from moderate Muslims. And I know that there are Muslim leaders who have condemned violent jihad, who condemn death penalty for conversion. And I said, look, supposedly there are all these moderate Muslims out there. Supposedly you represent like 85% of the world Muslim population. I know some are Muslims in name only. They're nominal. They're not really committed, just like they're nominal Christians. I said, but just, hey, tell me that, just respond to these questions. If you are a committed Muslim, if you uphold the five pillars of the faith and so on. And when I interacted with this gentleman on Twitter, and I said, okay, do you pray five times a day? Do you uphold the five pillars of the faith? He said, that's a laughable definition of a Muslim. Laughable definition of a Muslim. So, okay, let's even put aside praying five times a day. Let's just say upholding the five fundamental pillars of the faith. If you don't hold to that, you're not a Muslim. You're it's just like if you're not in death and resurrection of Jesus, his atoning death and his resurrection. You're not Christian. You call yourself whatever you want, but you're not. So I said to him, okay, would say in Saudi Arabia or Iran, would you be recognized as an Orthodox Muslim? I never heard back from him. My assumption is the answer is, of course he wouldn't. So I'm going to post something, maybe an hour from now, which is just a long list of violent Islamic acts around the world. And just wondering, okay, tell me Saudi Arabia, their national leadership, their Muslim leadership, where they renounce these things. Just tell, please. I'm not being combative. I want to hear from Orthodox Muslims who categorically renounce, say, the death penalty for apostasy or any type of corporal punishment for a Muslim turning away from Islam and, say, embracing Christianity. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like for you to say it on the air. I'd like for you to get on the air and say, I denounce Hamas as a terrorist group. I'd like for you to say that. Is that asking for too much? I mean, shouldn't that just be something that is totally natural and given? I would like for you to announce and say, I absolutely reject the comments like the decimation and annihilation of Israel is coming soon, Allah willing, end of Israel be a fact, I'm sure. I would like you to renounce those comments, because the ones I'm hearing from on social media are angry. They're calling for violence consistently. Hey, I'll give you another opportunity, because I know there are Muslims that listen to the broadcast. If you uphold the five pillars of the Islamic faith, you're a committed Muslim. Would you get on the air and renounce this hadith attributed to Muhammad? The hour of resurrection will not come until you fight the Jews. The Jews will hide behind stones or trees, and the stones or trees will call, O Muslim servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. If not attributed directly to Muhammad, then early Islamic tradition, would you come on the program and say, I am a committed Muslim, and I categorically, without qualification, denounce that? It shouldn't be hard. For years, I remember watching Louis Farrakhan on TV, and he was asked, would you denounce these Muslim acts of violence? He said, I denounce all acts of religious violence, Muslim, Christian, whatever. He was not asked to do that. If you asked me to denounce someone who shoots an abortion killer, an abortionist, someone who kills an abortionist, an abortion doctor, and someone kills them in cold blood, well, I denounce it. Of course I'll denounce it. I don't have to say, and I denounce Muslim suicide bombers. No, I don't have to say that. I will say, I denounce that. As a follower of Jesus, I denounce that. We are pro-life, therefore we do not murder an abortion doctor. We grieve over what he does, and we want laws to stop what he's doing, or what she's doing, but we don't kill them. That is absolutely contrary to the gospel. I'll denounce it plainly. I've heard Palestinian Authority, when they're asked to denounce a suicide bombing, they said, we denounce this act of violence and all Zionist acts of violence. Why can't you just denounce your own? I'll do that for my part, for my religious beliefs. I'll gladly do that. And if Israel does something wrong, I'll renounce it and say it's wrong, just like that. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Wrote an article. It's getting a lot of discussion. If you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article, you'll see it. And we're going to do a whole show or a part of a show on next Tuesday, I believe, to discuss it. Should persecuted Christians defend themselves? Should persecuted Christians defend themselves? It's getting some lively discussion. Go to AskDrBrown.org. By the way, when you're there, AskDrBrown.org, any order you place, there's a code on the homepage right through midnight tomorrow, postage paid on all orders. So take advantage of this. AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. Coming your way live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And tomorrow, as always, you've got questions, we've got answers, eager to hear from you. Let's go right to the phones in Richmond, Virginia. Nachum, welcome to the line of fire. Or is it Nahum?
Hello.
How do you pronounce
that? Dr. Brown. Listen to you all the time, and God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I would say the same year you were, 71. But, all right.
Awesome.
I read Danish. I studied Danish. I lived there. Read an article in, like, the New York Times, Berlingske of Denmark this morning about the increased anti-Semitic activity taking place in Copenhagen and surrounding area in Denmark now. A nation traditionally supportive, of course, going back to World War II, continuing to start under World War II and resisting getting a lot of Jews saved during World War II. But there's a member of parliament in Denmark that is of Muslim background who is trying to defeat a bill which would come down on the anti-Semitism there. I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. That's what's going on in Copenhagen right now.
Yeah, and thank you for calling and sharing that. In fact, I was speaking earlier, reading an article in Jerusalem Post about the global pogrom. Pogroms, of course, being these attacks on Jewish communities in Eastern Europe, Russia, late 1800s, early 1900s. You might have, for example, after an Easter service, that they'd get enraged and let's go get the Christ killers and suddenly just, you know, go rampaging through a community and beat Jews to death and crazy things like that. And you're seeing now around the globe in numerous countries. Now, for the most part, it is Muslims in these different countries protesting, which is not a surprise. But when you see the vehemence, when you see the anger, when you see how this is now rising in country after country, and in some cases the governments are not really suppressing it, it is eye-opening. In Copenhagen, those in Denmark, those who were demonstrating, I'm looking at reports here that there were shouts, Hamas, Hamas, Jews to the gas, death to the Jews. Was this just Muslims participating, or were there native Danes participating as well?
There's a very minute portion of the Danish population that comes from kind of a revived anti-Semitic going back to Germany of World War II, that kind of attitude. But I would say it would be primarily when I lived in Denmark in the 70s, I lived in Northbridge, and there were almost no people from Muslim countries living there. Now it is, I'd say, 60% from countries like Turkey and Pakistan, and just all Muslim countries in general. So there's a very strong, there's halal shops on every corner and things like that. And this is
for meat that's slaughtered, that's acceptable.
Correct,
you know what's interesting? Obviously, we want to reach out to everyone. And as followers of Jesus, if we have Muslims that live in our community, well, opportunity to reach out to them. But here I arrive in Tulsa, Oklahoma, leaving the airport yesterday. And the woman in the booth, as you pay the parking fee, the folks that had picked me up, is as I'm being driven out of the airport, the gal that was in the booth was a Muslim woman. She was obviously a foreigner, and her head was almost completely covered with the outfit she's wearing. I appreciate the modesty. That's fine. But Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was told there are like three mosques. The opportunity to reach out. But trust me, Islamic expansion is on the mind of Muslims. We'll be right back. Thank you for the call, sir.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown,
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Coming your way live from Tulsa, Oklahoma, spoke last night and this morning on hypergrace, error of hypergrace, and the beauty of true grace. And trust those messages will continue to speak to many people. If you don't have my book on hypergrace, I strongly encourage you to get it. You'll find it very, very relevant, helpful. So many issues going on in the church today. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, though. We are focused on this subject. And I want to talk to you for a moment about genocide. 866-348-7884. And please, I invite you to call if you have a different perspective than I do about Israel. And if you have said that Israel is guilty of genocide or war crimes or compared Netanyahu to Hitler, I'd love to talk to you because you're wrong. You're wrong on that. And I'm glad to say why you're wrong. And if you want to tell me why I'm wrong, I'll give you the opportunity to do it. And we'll talk about it. You say, well, you control the mic. Well, yeah, I control the mic if you're not going to say something relevant, or if you'll refuse to respond to an honest question, or if you'll talk fiction at a certain point, I will jump in. If you've got something to say, I want you to say it. And, hey, let me say this again. Don't post a comment on social media and assume I'm going to see it. I've been ministering all last night, all this morning, literally straight from there, ran from signing books at the book table, literally straight from there, telling people as I'm walking, hey, so sorry, I can't talk any further, straight to the studio to set up a sound check, just trying to catch up on emails, still looking at them during breaks and important notes that Matt, my producer, sent me some articles to look at to talk to you about on the air today. Just doing that. Don't think that I see one of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of comments on social media. That's for you to interact with others. But don't assume that I see them and then challenge me there. Number one, I don't see 99% of the comments. Number two, I don't have time to respond to 99.9% of the comments. But you can call me. Don't just talk big on the internet. If you have the opportunity, if you're not working and you're able to call, the time zones work, call 866-34. See, that was very friendly. Genocide. Here is a dictionary definition of genocide. The deliberate killing of a large group of people, especially those of a particular ethnic group or nation. Israel is not guilty of genocide. Who are the people? Palestinians, right? Palestinians, Arabs that have lived in the land for some generations or that were born in the land in recent generations, right? Palestinian Arabs. If Israel was guilty of genocide, there would be none left, or there would be a handful because Israel could wipe them out overnight with their military capabilities. Oh, it would be absolutely on a par with Nazi Germany and Hitler, but Israel has not done that. So let me repeat once more, the 200,000 Arabs, Palestinians that agreed to live in Israel and stay there when the War of Independence fought, when the five surrounding nations, Arab nations, attacked the Jewish nation, the newborn Jewish nation, a nation of refugees, a nation of those that had been there for some generations, but a fledgling nation. When they attacked, the 200,000 that stayed there are now 1.6 million. 1.5, 1.6 million. You don't go from 200,000 to 1.5 plus million when someone's committing genocide against you. The Jewish population under Nazi Germany went from 9 million to 3 million. That was genocide against a people. Two-thirds were wiped out. The Palestinians living with Israel, who didn't try to murder the Jews and who said, we will gladly live in peace with you, have grown from 200,000 to 1.5 million. They've grown 800%. Let's just do a little more history here, all right? A little more history. Oh, let's just see where we want to go here. All right. When Israel last was engaged before the current conflict, Operation Protective Edge, the current conflict with the Palestinians, 7,000 rockets launched into Israel by Hamas terrorists. Some of them were fatal. All of them disrupted life there for the people living in the south. So Israel fights back against terror. Fort Lauderdale, this was a few years ago. Protest murderers, go back to the ovens, you need a big oven. Los Angeles, long live Hitler, put Jews in ovens, Jews are fossil fuel. And now we're getting the same stuff now. What does that tell you? And here's the most bizarre thing of all. You have anti-Israel marches and protests where you have gays and feminists marching among them. You know what happened if you're openly homosexual, openly feminist under Hamas in Gaza? You know what happened to you? In Israel, you'll be celebrated. You'll be part of the crowd. Yeah, I'm not proud to say that there are gay pride marches in Jerusalem. I'm not proud to say that Tel Aviv was voted a couple years ago the most gay-friendly city in the world with an overwhelming margin of the vote. I'm not proud to say that. Those are the realities. Feminism is alive and well, radical feminism in Israel. How ironic that gays and feminists march together in solidarity with Hamas against Israel. So November 2011, in the midst of conflict with Hamas in Gaza, what is Israel doing? 5,390 truckloads containing 149,165 tons of goods, including 2,521 truckloads of food products, were delivered from Israel to Gaza. This is in the midst of war. This is in the midst of hostility of Hamas wanting to kill Israelis. This is what Israel's delivering. 3,187 tons of cooking gas were delivered via the Kerem Shalom crossing. 1,336 Gaza residents, patients, and companions entered or passed through Israel for medical treatment via the Erez crossing. Okay. Can I just give you a couple of quotes here? Is that all right? Let me see here. All right. 1936, Haj Amin al-Husseini, Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, confidant or colleague of Adolf Hitler in later years. He said this. 1936, this is when Jews and Arabs were living side by side for the most part peacefully. Quote, there is no place in Palestine for two races. The Jews left Palestine 2,000 years ago. Let them go to other parts of the world where there are wide vacant places. No place for two. David Ben-Gurion, 1937. Quote, we do not wish and do not need to expel Arabs and take their place. David Ben-Gurion, 1937. All our aspiration is built on the assumption proven throughout all our activity in the land of Israel that there is enough room in the country for ourselves and the Arabs. Azam Pasha, October 11th, 1947, he was the Secretary General of the Arab League, interviewed in the Akhbar al-Yom newspaper. Quote, it will be a war of annihilation. Speaking of the surrounding Arab nations launching a war against the Jews, rather than accepting the partition plan of an Arab state and a Jewish state. It will be a war of annihilation. It will be a momentous massacre in history that will be talked about like the massacres of the Mongols or the Crusades. Golda Meir, November 29th, 1947. We are happy and ready for what lies ahead. Our hands are extended in peace to our neighbors. Both states can live in peace with one another and cooperate for the welfare of their inhabitants. Our hands are extended in peace to our neighbors. Contrast that with Azam Pasha, it will be a war of annihilation. And you're going to fault Israel for defending itself and for fighting back? You say, yeah, but they launched offensive and they cleared out areas. Yeah, when it was part of war and when they had to do things strategically, they did. But their call was stay, don't flee, stay and we'll live as neighbors. David Ben-Gurion, 1947, December 47. You say, ah, that's just talk. Well, this is public policy. If the Arab citizen will feel at home in our state, if the state will help him in a truthful and dedicated way to reach the economic, social, and cultural level of the Jewish community, Then Arab distrust will accordingly subside, and a bridge will be built to a Semitic Jewish Arab alliance. This is what Ben-Gurion was calling for. Haganah, this is Israel Defense Forces, Israel Army, April 1948. In its Arabic language broadcasts and communications, the Haganah consistently articulated the same message as documented by Ephraim Karsh in his book, Palestine Betrayed. April 22nd, at the height of the fighting in Haifa, the Haganah distributed an Arabic language circular noting its ongoing campaign to clear the city of all, quote, criminal foreign bands so as to allow the restoration of, quote, peace and security, the good neighborly relations among all the town's inhabitants. I've got another quote. We come back. Stay here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, that is singing Replace Israel with Palestine. Look, my heart goes out to Palestinians because they have been victims of poor leadership decisions. Their leaders have not done what's in their best interest. I'm not saying Israel is perfect. I am saying that there could have been so many ways to work together peacefully. There could have been ways for coexistence. But let us not underestimate the power of Islam. Let us not... Look, say moderate Islam. Say whatever you want. The Islam that is practiced by Hamas and by many in the Palestinian Authority is of the more radical brand, okay? Not universally, but widely. And that means it's going to have a lot of Jew hatred in it. Look, think of how deeply rooted segregation was here in America. Think of that. And think of, to this day, there are whites who still look down on blacks. And there are of course, there are white supremacists and black supremacists. I understand that. But look, you have in St. Louis right now, in Missouri, the race riots going on after someone with my name, Michael Brown, a young man, apparently killed, defenseless, holding his hands up saying, you know, stop shooting. He was unarmed. He was simply, according to the reports, walking to his grandmother's house, and he gets shot by a white policeman. You see now the flaming race riots, and you see the black distrust of white police, and you see, apparently, we don't know the details, but a white policeman killing a black man in cold blood. You see this happening, and it's easy for these things to flare, all right? So of course, you're going to have deep-seated hostilities between Palestinians and the Israelis. But on Israel's end, it continues to be the case that if the Palestinians did not want to kill them, and if they said we're willing to live together, and look, let's recognize that the real claim to Jerusalem is Jewish, not Muslim, that the historic ancient claim and focus is Jewish, not Muslim. And if you're praying in Jerusalem and you're praying towards Mecca, you've got your back towards Jerusalem and your face towards Mecca, what does that tell you? Whereas religious Jews around the world are praying with their faces towards Jerusalem. So there's so many things that could be done for the good of the Palestinians, but they are being used as a constant open wound to make Israel look bad. We know the story. It gets played out in front of us, and yet people still don't get it. This is Haganah, 1948, in the midst of war with surrounding Arab nations. To the Arabs living in their cities, we implore you again to keep your women, children, and the elderly from the dangerous places and to keep yourselves away from gang bases that are still subjected to our retaliatory action. We do not wish to shed the innocent blood of the city's peace-loving inhabitants. What else do you want them to do? April 24th, another Haganah radio broadcast, 1948, declared, Arabs, we do not wish to harm you like you. We only want to live in peace. If the Jews and the Arabs cooperate, no power in the world will ever attack our country or ignore our rights. What's the Arab response? April 16th, 1948, Jamal Hussein is speaking to the UN Security Council. Quote, The representative of the Jewish agency told us yesterday that they were not the attackers, that the Arabs had begun the fighting. We did not deny this. We told the whole world that we were going to fight. Let me just see if I have a chance to get to this. A lengthy comment that was posted on YouTube in response to my challenge to Jon Snow and what I said, a major commentator in England. Here we go. Sarah said this. To the Zionist trolls who continue bringing up their top most absurd arguments to justify these latest atrocities. Sarah, don't start off with calling people Zionist trolls. Maybe you're a pro-Palestinian troll or Muslim troll. How about people weighing in? And I don't know about Zionist trolls. We haven't trained any. We don't have any that we call on. We simply ask people to weigh in terms of what they feel is right. Quote, Hamas fired 1,394 rockets to Israel. How many rockets, missiles, tank shells, cluster bombs, white phosphorus bombs, bullets, cannons, grenades is Israel unleashed on the Palestinians? Sarah, they are fighting back and doing what they can to stop murderers. And they are still acting with tremendous restraint. Otherwise, Gaza would not exist. Quote, Israel's defending itself. What would you do if someone was firing rockets at your country? She said, if I occupied a people, placed a crippling trade and economic embargo on them, placed them under siege, humiliated them daily via the military police checkpoints, controlled the water, electricity, on and on and on, constructed apartheid, Jewish-only roads, shot their children, bombed their schools, mosque businesses, and on, I'd probably stop doing all the above. Secondly, Israel has been mass murdering the Palestinians for over 6 years. Sarah, that is pure propaganda. Nonsense. Nonsense. Israel has not been mass murdering Palestinians. Palestinians, I'll repeat it again, Palestinians living in Israel have gone from 200,000 to 1.5 million. How massively has the population in the so-called West Bank grown? How massively has the population in Gaza grown? That's obscene. That's libelous. And Israel did not put any crippling anything on Gaza until Hamas came in power as a terrorist organization. And if Hamas is out of power and the Palestinians elect a civil leadership that's willing to work together with Israel for the Palestinians' well-being, there won't be a blockade. What ugly, false accusations. This is Hamas's fault. They use human shields. Israel isn't target civilians. Excuse me, when you launch an unbridled, indiscriminate attack from warships, fighter jets, tanks, artillery, and civilian area, what do you expect to find there? Breakdancing hobbits? Sarah, what world are you living in? What world are you living in? They don't just bomb indiscriminately. They send out warnings. They stop bomb. They will not bomb when they see civilians. And it is documented that Israel has done better to preserve civilian casualties than just about anybody in recorded warfare history. And yes, when there are abuses, they are dealt with because they are not intentional. If an Israeli soldier acts in an inappropriate way, he is disciplined. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Classic propaganda. And when people differ with it, you call them Zionist trolls. What a joke. But we let that stay up there despite the false accusations, just so the points could be made. But we don't allow accusations like that against Israel, accusing them of mass murder and the like. So goodbye to that comment. You're not going to use my social media to accuse Israel of genocide and the like. That's just a reality. Okay, friends, I'm out of time, but I want to encourage you to stand with us. If you appreciate the work that we're doing, if you know that by God's grace we are making a difference, then stand with us. Help us become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. I believe that what we're doing is very important, and with your help, it can be multiplied to touch many more. So go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Stand with us today. My bottom line, let the propaganda come. Let the lies come against Israel and the Jewish people. Ultimately, truth will expose the lies.